Today, we're talking all about how to prepare for a surgery. Hi, I'm Jessica Vallant, a physical therapist and Pilates teacher, and I want to bring science-based knowledge, empathy, courage, support, love, and hopefully some fun to the journeys we have with our bodies. There is hope and strength in your body, and my goal is to help you find it. Hi, welcome back to Meet Your Body. Thanks for being here today, wherever you are, wherever you're listening. I appreciate you right now, and I appreciate you being here, so thank you. And I just got done filming a lot of workout videos, so if you hear me, like, I think my heart rate has come back down, but I have a lot of water, and I definitely need a shower. Luckily, you can't tell that I need a shower. But yeah, I just got done recording a lot of workout videos, and then I have a couple more to do in the next couple days. And the reason I'm doing so many, I mean, obviously, as you all know, I have my YouTube channel and I have my Unlimited community with a ton of workouts, so we're always adding new content. And if you want to know more about that, the link is always below. So that's always there. But the reason that I'm doing a lot right now is because I have surgery next week. And so I thought this would be a great time for this topic today. We're going to talk about how to prepare for a surgery, a major surgery. And first off, there's obviously going to be differences depending on the surgery. I'm trying today to give tips for that could apply to really any surgery, any major surgery. So I'm trying to keep that in mind. But, you know, a couple footnotes to start. One, only you know the exact surgery you may or may not be having, or a loved one. And so you have to take all of this and apply it to your personal situation. And then the other thing to keep in mind is obviously anything I say, I am not a doctor and I am not your doctor. You need to check with your own doctor and surgeon on all of this stuff. I am giving you my experience. And for context around that, I have had 4 major surgeries in my life. And by major, I mean under general anesthesia for a significant period of time, possibly staying overnight, possibly not staying overnight. By minor surgeries, I mean I've had my wisdom teeth out. I have been through IVF a few times, so I've had the egg retrieval process done. Those are minor, okay, in my opinion. It does not mean they're not serious and meaningful and all of that. I just mean they're a little bit more on the minor scale when it comes to surgical procedures. So I am talking today about major surgery when you're under general anesthesia. And so for myself, like I said, I've had 4, and next week I'm having my 5th. I have had a big cyst removed called a thyroglossal duct cyst. I had that removed with my tonsils a very long time ago. I was in my 20s. That was a major surgery. It was overnight. And then I've had 2 laparoscopies, however you want to say it, for my endometriosis, laparoscopic surgeries for my endometriosis. Then I've had a hysterectomy with major prolapse repair. And I was really hoping that would maybe be it, that maybe I would be done. Hopeful. That was in 2019. Because I felt like I had had enough. I was good. And then, as you most likely know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer 4 weeks ago. And so in just a little bit, next week, I am having a double mastectomy and reconstruction all done at the same time. And so I thought it would be good timing, as I'm going through this again myself, to talk to you all about how you can prepare for surgery, because there are some things that you can definitely do and I recommend doing when you are preparing your body for surgery. So we are just going to jump right into those today. So I have, let me see, I think I have like 9 points I want to cover. So I'm going to try to go through them all. And if you need to take notes, please do it. If you need to come back and listen again, this is going to be an episode that you can keep in your archives for, again, if you ever need it or if a loved one needs it. Okay, it's really important information in my mind. I have, as a physical therapist, seen, I mean, I can't, countless, thousands upon thousands of clients in my life. both who have had surgery and who are preparing for their own surgery. And I will tell you, a lot of this information is just simply not given or not known. And it's not out of negligence. It's simply out of the fact that most surgeons are going to tell you exactly just what they think you should know, and not a lot of additional things that could help. So we're kind of covering all of those things today. So again, keep this in your archives, keep it in your files for a time that you might need it, write it down. And the first thing, the absolute first piece of advice I will give you, the first thing you have to do when you prepare for a surgery is you have to ask and know what surgery you are having exactly. And that might seem silly, but it is so important, because I cannot tell you how many people I have seen who I say, what surgery are you having? And they say, I don't know, I'm having shoulder surgery. And I'll say, okay, well, what though? What are they cutting? What are they doing? Are they putting in screws? Are they not? Is it an open incision? Is it, are they using the laparoscopic holes? What exactly? And people don't know. And I am not saying that at all demeaning, because why would you know if you don't have a medical background? Absolutely. Why would you be asking those questions? And those answers aren't just given out, because most surgeons aren't going to take the time to explain it. But it's really important to know what is happening to your body when you go into surgery. And I'm not saying you need to go watch videos of what is going to be done. You don't need to see necessarily, but I want you to take a moment to ask. And I talk about this a lot in my hysterectomy videos. What exactly is being done? What are they taking out? How are they doing it? What's the possibility of an open incision versus not? What are the benefits of that versus not? All of those things you need to be asking. So if you're having surgery, ask the questions. Say exactly what are you doing and why. And maybe you know, for me, it's really clear why I have to have a mastectomy next week. That's pretty darn clear to me. But a lot of times we don't exactly know why, so ask why. This is your right to ask questions, okay? And I'm going to say this right off the bat. You have to be the squeaky wheel. You have to be willing to be the squeaky wheel. You have to be willing to call and ask questions and leave messages. And when they don't call you back, because they usually won't, call again. Email, get in that online portal, ask your questions. It is okay. This is a major deal to have surgery, so you want to have as much information as you need, as you feel like you personally need. We are all different. I can promise you I need more information than the average person. It's just my personality, so I ask a lot of questions. But I want you to know what is being done, okay? And in addition to that, don't use online as your only research tool, because Dr. Google can be helpful to a point, and then it can be really scary and can cause a lot of fear. And Dr. Google tells you every possible explanation and surgical procedure, not the one necessarily you're having done. So I want you to ask your team, your doctor, your surgeon, the nurses, what kind of surgery you're having done. You know, why? It's a simple question. Just why are we choosing this kind? You know, yes, I have a rotator cuff tear. Okay, but just tell me why you're choosing this kind of surgery over another. You know, just ask. That's okay. You can get the answers. And one other thing that has been really helpful to me is asking people you know who've had the procedure done. And again, we're all different on whether that's comfortable to you or not. I wouldn't get online into all the forums yet until you're ready for that information. But if you have some friends, some people you trust close to you, some contacts who've had the same surgery done, that can be really, really helpful information. I have found out a few things through that channel, through some friends of mine who've been diagnosed with breast cancer and had the surgery. That's where I've probably gotten my most useful information on what I need after surgery, what recovery will look like, and those kind of things, who I need to help wash my hair. The doctor's not telling me that, but my friend did. My friend said, you're not going to be able to wash your own hair for 2 weeks, so who's going to do it for you? Okay, so those are the things. So number one, know what kind of surgery you're having, ask your questions, get the information so you can go in with the knowledge that you need. Number two, it kind of follows what I was just talking about having some people around you. Have a support system and decide right now who's going to be in that circle. Not everyone has to be. And not everyone was meant to be the kind of support you need, okay? That helps me sometimes when I remember that, because depending on what the surgery is, you might have a lot of people offering a lot of help, or you might have little people offering little help, but you get to decide what's the most helpful to you, Okay, what is going to help you the most, and who is it in your life and in your circle that you can trust to give that to you? What kind of boundaries do you need to set, saying, you know what, I really am not going to want to see anyone for 2 weeks after. Please don't visit. You know, I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but please, I'm going to need you maybe in 4 weeks later on. You're allowed to say that. Or on the flip side, you might say, I need you here today. I need you to take the day off work and be here today with me, because that's going to be a scary day. I have a scary test that day, and I'm really going to need you to be by my side. You're allowed to say those things. So take a few minutes to decide, and it's okay if you don't know what you need yet. But I think it's really helpful to kind of figure that out a little bit beforehand. And also remember, it's okay to tell people no or no thank you, or it's okay to say, I don't know what I need yet. I just don't know what I'm going to need yet. That is an okay answer as well. But you want to start to figure out things that you might need help with, such as rides, or again, just emotional support, help with the kids, meals, cleaning, help with work, all of that kind of stuff. Start to think through that a little bit. And that goes back to what you need to ask your doctor. One of the questions is, when can I go back to work, or when can I function? When can I drive? The answers to those questions are going to be really helpful when you figure out what you need in your support system. And I'll tell you one other thing. It's really helpful. I had a friend say to me, probably one of the most helpful things, I don't know what you need. Only you know what you need. But I'm here for whatever that is. That might be driving your kids. It might be taking you to your surgery. It might be just sitting in the car silently, and you won't need anything from me, and I'm just there if you happen to need something. I'm here for whatever that is, and even if it's nothing, I will be here when you're ready and if you need it. That's one of the most helpful things. So if you're listening to this and you're offering help to someone, let them tell you what they need and be there for it. It's extremely supportive and helpful. The third thing we're going to talk about is moving your body. Okay, when it comes to preparing for surgery, you have got to keep moving your body. Now, this is where it starts to come in, that idea that I don't know exactly which surgery you're having, and it will be different for everyone. If you had an ACL tear and you're waiting for surgery, ACL reconstruction, that your movement is going to look different than mine does right now, preparing for a double mastectomy, right? Your movement will look different. We're all going to be a little different in this way, but I can tell you 100% with the backup of science and research on this, that movement is healthy for our bodies, and the stronger we are before surgery, the better outcomes we have after. And this is why you've heard me say that I think of movement as putting these deposits in my bank account. And I know right now, with a cancer diagnosis and this surgery, I'm about to take a lot of withdrawals from my health bank account. Like a lot. a lot. And I am so thankful that I have made these deposits over the years. And that's why I keep moving even right now, because I need those deposits in there to help carry me while I heal afterwards. Now, with that movement, what I don't think you should be doing right before surgery is trying like a brand new exercise class or pushing yourself to your max. Your body needs its reserves for the healing after surgery. So for example, for myself, I just keep my normal routine until about a week ahead of time. And again, this is just me, okay? This is not anything I've read in science. This is how I do it. I keep my normal routine. I don't add anything in the months before. But I keep my normal routine until about a week before. And then I just make sure that I go maybe on the lower impact end, so that what I'm trying to do is not make myself so sore that my body needs 2 days to recover. Because the last thing that I want is to be going into surgery really sore from a heavy weightlifting session at the gym. So about a week out, I tend to either just go lighter on the weights or do a lot of walking and a lot of my Pilates work. It just depends on how I'm feeling at that moment, honestly. But that's my plan, is I keep doing my normal stuff without I don't add anything new or crazy, but I keep doing my normal workouts. I keep moving every day, and I will move every day up until surgery. But about a week out, I just tend to go a little more in the lighter or more gentle place so that I don't have to put all my reserves towards recovery. Also, you may be recommended by your doctor to do physical therapy before surgery. And again, that's really common with any kind of orthopedic condition. So total knee replacements, total hips, rotator cuffs, all of that stuff, even hysterectomy. I tell people to do pelvic floor PT. Again, we know outcomes are better. Your rehabilitation will be better after surgery if you do physical therapy or some kind of strengthening prior to. And with many conditions, you will want that guided physical therapy for it. So highly, highly recommend that you keep moving. Even if you're in a place of fear, find out how to move safely. All right, that's something you need to ask. Only you know how you can keep moving safely with your own specific injury or surgical needs. But I highly recommend you keep moving your body prior to surgery. The fourth thing we're going to cover is what I'm calling nourishing your body. Now, I am not a registered dietitian. I am not a nutritionist, and I am not here to talk to you about what you should or should not be eating or drinking. I am going to tell you, with four surgeries under my belt, and as I am preparing, just a little bit out from my own neck surgery, how I am looking at it personally from a food, drink, nourishment perspective. First, know what the doctors say. It's really important because that can be a big part of it. You will be told to stop eating, stop drinking for a certain amount of time prior to surgery. So you need to know that information and you need to follow it. It's there for a reason, so follow it, okay? And each surgery is different. My three main surgeries prior to this have all been abdominal surgeries. So my last one, I was told to fast for 2 days before surgery because they needed that cleaned out. So that's what I did. So I was actually pretty shocked for this one coming up where they only need me to stop about 8 hours before because that's not my prior experience. So that's what I was told. So know what the doctor is telling you because they will tell you. So that's one thing. Also know what they tell you about stopping medication and stopping vitamins. And again, it's your situation and your doctor, but they will tell you those. I was told to stop vitamins for a certain amount of time, stop medication for a certain amount of time because those can thin your blood. So you want to find out about that. Stopping alcohol a certain amount of time beforehand. And so find out all of that information. For me, I focus on hydration, staying as hydrated as possible. I can tell you, again, from a PT perspective, medically, we don't do as well in any kind of procedures and recovery if we are dehydrated. So I just stay on it. I am drinking water. I'm drinking my electrolytes. I am trying to stay really, really hydrated. For me personally, I have not had much alcohol at all since this diagnosis. I will tell you from my previous surgeries, I think I've stopped altogether like a week or two beforehand. So that's just something, again, ask your doctor, make sure you know. I tend to go a little bit more than that because of the dehydration piece. I want to make sure I'm really hydrated. So it's just something to understand. And then make sure leading up to surgery that you are feeding yourself just as healthy as possible because you need those reserves. I go back to that. You're going to need those reserves. You need them to heal. You need them to get through surgery. How that looks to me is I tend to make big batches of soup because I also get a little anxious before my surgery, especially this one. I've had a lot of, I haven't been hungry for about a month, let's just say, after this diagnosis. I'm eating, but like nothing sounds great. Nothing excites me. I'm just eating to stay healthy. And so that's okay too. So I make big batches of soup that I can put a ton of protein and vegetables in that I can easily digest. I do that before surgery a lot. I have a lot of bone broth. I try to up the protein. So again, I'm feeding my muscles because I know I'm not going to use them much after surgery. So it's just, I'm not here to tell you what to eat or drink. I'm just telling you to know that it is an important component of your healing. So make sure you're asking the doctor about the specific rules they want to put in place. And then make sure that you are putting things in your body that are 100% going to support your healing as much as possible. And number five follows that exactly, to be ready with nourishing food and hydration for after surgery. The reason this falls in how to prep for surgery is because you may need to plan this ahead of time. I have already done that. I have a giant water bottle that will be by my side and I already have it like ready. I made sure I have a really big water bottle that I'm ready to have. I make sure that I have the electrolyte packets that I personally like to use, that I have bone broth, that I have all the things I will need, and things I don't have yet, I have on a list. I'll do a shopping trip. I tend to prep food, and some of it's for me, but a lot of it's for the kids. But I'm just prepping things that I know I might need afterwards. So that again will be personal for you. But if you need any kind of things to help you stay hydrated, which also help you stay regular, let me just say really quick that anesthesia causes constipation and pain medication causes constipation. And if you have listened to my hysterectomy stories and what to know after hysterectomy surgery, you know I had a major problem with constipation after my last surgery. And so you want to do everything you can to stay regular after any kind of surgery, and hydration helps. So if you need things like juice or prune juice available, have it, buy it ahead of time. Plan to have your nourishing food and hydration just simply ready for you when you come home from surgery. All right, number six is to schedule any appointments that you're going to need after surgery now. After surgery is just a really different place if you've never been there before. And typically I tell people, and again, this goes for most major surgeries because of the anesthesia, you're just in a fog for about 2 weeks. Like you kind of don't feel human for about 2 weeks just because of the entire fog and everything. So anything that takes a lot of logical thinking or problem solving, I make sure I don't have to do it for about 2 weeks afterwards, and that includes finding doctors' phone numbers and making appointments. So schedule them ahead of time. And most of those are going to include any kind of physical therapy appointments you need or post-op follow-up. So I can tell you already right now, I have 4 appointments scheduled for my post-op for this surgery, or I should say for this next surgery that I have next week. I already have them all set. I have a folder, and you could do this in your notes or a spreadsheet or anything, but I have a folder of like all my different doctors and their phone numbers so that they're easy for me to find afterwards. So again, I'm not like Googling and searching. I want them easy and maybe in an easy place so that my husband can call if something comes up. Have that ready. Have the phone numbers ready in case you do need to call after for any reason. But if you do need to make any post-op or any physical therapy appointments, call and do it now, because you won't want to after because you're going to be too tired. But also, it can take a while to get in to see people, especially physical therapy. So call now and have that prepared ahead of time. And that goes for anything you need for those first 2 weeks, especially after surgery. So this is my 7th point, my 7th tip here. Start planning whatever you might need in those 2 weeks after. That includes anything from work, out of office replies, rides for your kids, lunches for the kids, meals for yourself, grocery delivery, anything, cleaning the house, honestly, anything that could come up. Make sure that you have some kind of contingency plan for those things. You do not want to be asked 2 days after surgery to have to do any of those things. Truly, give yourself a break for at least a week if you can possibly do it. And again, every surgery is different. I drove my kids to school a week after my hysterectomy and prolapse repair. I was exhausted. It was not easy, but I could do it and I wanted to do it. And so I chose to do it and I felt safe doing it. This surgery I know is going to be really different. I don't think I'm going to be allowed to drive for a while. I'm still getting my head around that. I'm not too happy about it, actually. But like that was a conversation just my husband and I had just to make sure, like, if he ever couldn't, which luckily he can and he's the best dad in the world and he's going to pick up everything that we need, I know, in this household. But for the days that maybe he can't, here are the numbers of the moms who I know are on call to help us at any time. Like that just gives me peace of mind to know we have some of that lined up. And everybody's different. I will admit I am a planner. So to have it planned out helps me so much, and it allows me to go into surgery feeling as much at peace as I can, knowing things are kind of planned for and taken care of, or at least having contingency plans if things go awry. That helps me. But remember, your main job after surgery is to heal. That's your job. Your job is to heal, okay? And who knows how long that will take. Again, it's different for everyone, but in general, at least for 1 to 2 weeks after, tell yourself that it's your job to heal, to hydrate, to rest, to go on walks, to help prevent blood clots if you can, if it allows you to. Your job is to do those things. So take the help where you can and plan for it ahead of time so that you are simply ready for it when that time comes. And then continuing on with what you can do beforehand to prepare for surgery, this is our eighth part, my eighth tip. What do you specifically need for that surgery? And this has hit me a lot. It hits me a lot for each one, but gosh, it's hit me so much with this. There are so many specific things that I need after that, you guys, I didn't know about because of the doctors or the surgeons. I know because of my friends. I know because of the amazing people who have had coffee with me or stepped up or I've messaged with on Instagram. My friends who have gone through this who've said, oh yeah, you're going to need that. Oh yeah, did they not tell you about the drains? You're going to need something in the shower to hold them. And I'm looking at them thinking, what are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about? Drains? And then I had to go ask my doctor, hey, can you tell me about these drains everyone is talking about? And that's when they finally told me about them. I just have to laugh. You have to ask such specific questions. So there are things after this surgery specifically that I will need that I didn't know about that I had to ask my doctor about. And it's a week out from surgery now. And I'm thinking, I hope they come in time. I better order them now. So depending on what it is, like for my hysterectomy, for the prolapse repairs, for all the endometriosis surgeries, what I really needed was comfortable pants with a loose waistband because I couldn't wear jeans or a belt for a month probably for comfort. So I just planned to have really comfy clothes that were comfortable around my waist because they were abdominal surgeries, right? For this surgery, I need like zip-up hoodies and shirts that button up in the front and apparently things that hold drains and certain types of bras. That's a completely different story. And yours will be different too, okay? If I was your physical therapist beforehand and you were having a total knee replacement, I would say ask your doctor if you need compression socks and compression stockings, and specifically make sure that you tell them that you want them above the knee. There are some specific things that like PTs can help with and people who've been there can help with. Do you need socks that have stickies on the bottom of them? Are you going to be walking around and you want to make sure you don't slip? Do you need your own big water bottle next to you to make sure that you stay hydrated? Do you need a special kind of ice pack that's going to fit around it? Do you need to actually rent some kind of medical equipment? Do you need a range of motion machine at home? Find out what you need and make sure that's prepared ahead of time. Here's another actually thing you might want to check on. And I'm telling you this because I just saw it on my list and I have to get it myself. Body wipes. I don't know how long until I can shower. And as I mentioned, the hair thing, I have no idea till we figure that out. So I'm going to order some body wipes just to make sure I can freshen up. Do you need that? Do you need extra contacts? Do you need to make sure your glasses are ready? What do you need? Make sure that you get it ahead of time. One more tip. If you have kids, if you have young kids, okay, my kids are 6 and 10, and keeping them busy is prime to us, and having them in front of the screen all the time is not prime for me whatsoever. And in a time like this and what's coming, I know I'm not going to be able to play all the games and everything that we usually do with them. So I recommend, this is what I do at least, I get them new activities, or I ask friends to get them new activities, like new Lego sets, games that they can play together, coloring books, you know, whatever it is that's age appropriate. Is actually a nice thing to have on hand if you have young kids, or if you're listening to this and you want to support someone having surgery with young kids. To me personally, that is a huge gift, is to think about what my kids might need during the time when I can't step up to be that mom. Like, is there any kind of food that they specifically need or would love? Are there games, or is there anything like that that would be helpful to them that would make them feel cozy and just a little more normal in what can be kind of an unnormal situation for them? All right, so we are going to review what we've talked about. If If you want to take notes, now's the time. Great time. One, you need to ask the doctor, find out exactly what kind of surgery that you are having and what is being done. Don't be afraid to be the squeaky wheel. Ask questions. Two, figure out your support system, or at least start to use your words and find out what your boundaries are and tell people what you might need from them. And I will tell you right now, people want to know. They do. So don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And also don't be afraid to set some boundaries if you need that for your own healing. Because remember, what's your job? Your job is to heal. Okay? Your job is not to make other people happy. Your job is to heal. So whatever you need, whatever kind of support system you need, set that up now. Number three, keep moving your body beforehand in whatever way is allowed and recommended by your own healthcare professionals. Movement is important. It is vital to keep moving in whatever way you can. Number four, nourish your body. Stay hydrated. What kind of things can you put in your body that are going to prime you for healing? And also making sure you ask the surgeon what their restrictions are for you when it comes to eating, drinking, liquids, vitamins, supplements, medication, everything prior to your own surgery. Next, be ready with the nourishing food and hydration and everything that you need after surgery. The next one, schedule any appointments that you need for after now. Okay, find out again about what they want for post-op, any testing post-op, any kind of physical therapy, call and set it up now. Next, same with the planning for whatever you need in those 2 weeks afterwards, right? Cleaners, out-of-office replies, rides for your kids, all of that. Get it planned so you don't have to do it after. And we're talking for about 2 weeks. And for everyone, it'll be a different amount of time, but I think that's a really safe amount of time to plan to need that help and have things set up. Number eight, with the planning, whatever kind of things you might specifically need for your own surgery. Ask the questions to find out if there's anything you need. Think about what would make you comfortable. Think about how you're going to be able to sleep, what kind of things you need. Have them at least as much as you can. Have them available and ordered beforehand. And now we're going to come to the last one, number nine, which is possibly the most important. You need to schedule some time to mentally prepare yourself, for your own surgery. Gosh, I did not think I was going to do this. I'm sorry. I have my time scheduled for myself, but I haven't. It hasn't come yet. So I haven't done this yet for this surgery. And apparently I need to. Surgeries are different for everyone. And again, being a physical therapist, I have seen it all. I've seen people completely fearful and scared and not ready and angry and resentful. And I have actually seen people who are like, yes, bring it on. I am so ready for this surgery. I've seen it all. And I highly recommend, no matter where you are, that you take some time to process the surgery, especially if it's something you didn't ask for, or especially if it's something that it feels like it's out of your control. And I say that because I felt that a little bit with my hysterectomy. I had to have it with the prolapse and with my endometriosis. It wasn't possible for us to have more kids medically, but I'd always wanted more kids. So there was a lot of mourning for me that went in with that, along with the gratitude that I had the kids that we have. So much gratitude. But there was some mourning, and I had to go through that beforehand, and I'll tell you why. Because you don't want to wake up from surgery having to then mourn what happened. And that will happen sometimes. And I have a feeling with this cancer diagnosis that will happen. But also, I highly recommend whatever you can do to wake up from surgery and again, embrace the fact that now is my job to heal and move forward. What can happen next? I don't want you and I don't want me to wake up from surgery with regrets about what didn't or did happen before, simply because that's not a good mental space to be in for healing, right? Your job is to heal, and your job is to look forward to what can happen and what the future holds. That's what we hope from any surgery, that it brings more hope for the future. And I want you and me to be able to embrace that. And sometimes it means having to do some mourning, and it might mean being angry, and that's okay. You know, it might mean being angry that you have to have the surgery, that you have to go through it. It might mean being a little resentful. It might mean that feelings come up that you don't like, and we just can't ignore it. That's all. So take, you might only need 20 minutes. You know, you might need a day. You might need longer. And it's okay if it doesn't all come full circle. I don't expect for my day of mourning before this surgery, I don't expect to be able to put a happy bow on it and say, I'm done. Sweet. I'm done with that. Done with my mourning. Let's move on. It's going to come in waves and it could come for a long time. But I'm going to take the time anyway. I'm taking a day off from everything else when the kids are at school. When the kids are at school, when no one needs me, I'm shutting everything down. And I'm going to take some walks and I'm going to have my journal and I'm probably going to cry my eyes out and I'm gonna let myself be mad and let myself be scared. I'm going to let all that come out, even though apparently it's coming out to you right now. I'm sorry. I'm going to let all that come out because it needs to. It needs to come out so that I can step into the healing phase ready for that and what's next. So that's my final point and piece of advice for you, is that you do the same. That you do the same, and if you need to, like I said, if you're having a surgery that you're so excited about, you might not need it, but a lot of us do. A lot of times surgery is not something we would have asked for. We're thankful for it. I mean, goodness gracious, I am so grateful to live in a time and place that I have access to this care. I am so grateful for all the surgeons and the doctors getting me in quickly. I am so grateful to have the privilege of health insurance that I can do this. I am so grateful. And also, this isn't something I wanted. This isn't a surgery I wanted to have. This isn't a diagnosis I wanted to have. So I'm going to reconcile that a little bit. I'm going to let it come out and I'm going to do some mourning and do some crying. I guess more crying. And then I'm going to move on to the healing phase, okay? And that's what I recommend for you too. And yes, it'll come in waves. I know more will come after surgery. But I'm going to give myself the grace and the chance to go in with some space for the hope that comes next. Oh my goodness gracious, I'm sorry to cry and for you today. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me use this as my journaling session for the day. And I just wish you the best again, wherever you are, whether it's your surgery or somebody you know, or this is just for the future in case you ever have surgery. It is something to take seriously and to prepare for. And also, I can tell you, guaranteed that you can do this, that you can do this and you can come out stronger and you can come out with a sense of hope and renewal. I promise you that. I pinky promise, as I would tell my kids, I pinky promise you that. So I'm here with you, walking with you. Do what you need to prepare to be the absolute best you can afterwards. And I'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for joining me today on Meet Your Body. If you have a moment, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast as it helps us tremendously. For more resources and workouts, you can visit my website, jessicavallantpilates.com, or find me on YouTube or Instagram at jessicavallantpilates.